Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
Listen and follow the Left Wing Rugby podcast with me, Will Slattery, and Luke Fitzgerald.
As far as I can see, I always want to get in the Irish team. And that should be every young player's dream and ambition in this country. And if you're playing in a place where you're not going to get the opportunities in the big games, that they're the ones that get you picked. They are the ones, the Champions Cup games are the ones that get you picked. You need to be playing in a team and starting in a team for those games. It's as simple as that if you want to play in the Irish team.
Every week on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen, I love solo and I love fucking driving through with the ball, so passing was an afterthought for me.
You just didn't want to pass.
I didn't, yeah, basically.
How's your ma? Is your da walk?
How's your ma? Is your da walk?
Oh, fuck. Two basin, Derry being better than Toronto.
A lot of things, you know, back-to-back Ulster champions, is absolutely wiping the floor of Toronto the last time you played them. Wiping the floor of Monaghan
was that?
Beat Toronto last season. Okay. 62 caps for his country, 164 Premier League games, Championship Player of the Year, 2 times International Player of the Year, 3 times International Goal of the Year. Kevin Doyle threw away all this for his GA career. Kevin, do you regret it?
Oh, it's great to hear. Do you want to repeat that again? That was nice. That was a nice the best introduction I've ever had. GA career. Do you know what? I love playing Gaelic football. I didn't play a whole lot of hurling when I was a kid. My club didn't have, just the age group I was in, didn't really have a hurling team. But my parents would have played County Hurling, Kirkcamogie in Ireland. So I probably should have, but love football. My last ever sort of Gaelic football game was going, I was brought into the Wexford under 21 panel when I was about 17, and I drove to training. And I sat outside the training ground and it was pissing rain, and I turned around and went home. So it was probably the best decision I ever made, looking back. I don't know what made me turn around. It was obviously the rain or whatever. But if I had gone in that day, I would have been sort of, that would have been it. I think I'd have been committed to Gaelic football. So luckily for me, I didn't.
Wow. The Wexford rain deprived Wexford GA of Kevin.
I don't know. I'm depriving it too much now. But I was handy enough, in fairness.
Yeah, well, he did all right.
He's done all right, yeah. The one thing that we both have in common, Kevin, is we both got... Well, am I right in saying you were nominated for Young Player of the Year?
Yeah.
Were you tipped by Cesc Fabregas?
Yeah, I was... it was Ronaldo, Rooney,
holy shit,
Fabregas, Micah Richards and myself, I think. Oh, and Aaron Lennon, there was 5 of us.
That's incredible.
I show my son that now, because Ronaldo and Ronaldo's the only player he knows from that era. Now he's 10, so I show him the PFA awards program from that night. He found it in the house one day, and that's the only sort of link he has with that era of me playing, to see.
Oh, amazing. Kevin, I got tipped by an Arsenal fan for Player of the Year as well, so we've something in common. Jack McCaffrey is an Arsenal fan.
Really?
So yeah, so there you go. We brought down, I just had to bring down the mood from Kevin's role of honour, but yeah, but it's still incredible, don't you? Look at the list of lads that were in that, competing for that, but yeah.
Jack's an part of it, right? I was lucky and I had a good year, so it was a decent list to be on. Yeah, good memories.
Fair play.
Is it true, Kevin, that you're getting roped into doing the odd coaching session now that you're back in Wexford?
I do a bit. You know what? I'm not a lover of coaching. I think, I don't know, I'm just not. But my son, I can't turn down my son's team, can I, when he's under 10, he's under 11.
Yeah, well, you need to make sure he's starting in the team. You want to go and coach them.
Captain, penalties, free kicks. No. I go and I help out or whatever. I try to avoid him and not be the parent or the dad that's, you know, putting pressure. Because I know, because the poor chap, he gets plagued everywhere we go. Everyone, like when we're family or whatever it might be, do you play soccer? You're going to be better than your dad and all. So that's all he's heard since he since I suppose he can walk, so I try to avoid him. I actually don't do anything with him on the pitch, or be shouting at him or telling him what to do. I leave that to the other coaches, and I sort of concentrate on the other players.
Yeah, you concentrate on showing him how his dad was on a par with Cristiano Ronaldo. That'll take the pressure right off him.
Yeah, for that 30 minutes that night at that awards, dude, that was about it. it's enjoyable with the kids, actually, but when the stresses you out when they're 7, 8, when they're that age, and it's a babysitting service. But now they're getting to 11, 12 years of age, it's actually it's enjoyable enough to see them develop for a right little team. He's plays for his local soccer club, Glenmarnock Town, and GA club as well. They're a right little team of players, so yeah, it's good fun.
If he comes to you and says, I've a choice to go play in GAA, whether it be hurling or football or soccer, what would your advice be?
Actually, we had this conversation today. I don't play golf. just rely on yourself. You know, you can't blame anyone else. Then
it's not bad.
Individual sport. He was out in the garden with a little set of golf clubs, and he seemed to be loving it. So stick to that. He plays them all. So the more sports, the better. I don't be distant. If you're happy playing whatever, play it. I'm not one for saying he should play this or that or not play another sport. Not when he's that age, 12 years of age, playing for another. Try to play as much as he can for 3 or 4 years, whatever he enjoys. It depends on the time of year. Right now, he loves hurling, loves football, Gaelic football. But in a month or two's time, when the soccer starts back, he'll prefer soccer. And that'll be, you know, it's just, I think it's the way with most of them. Whatever they're playing at the time, whatever they see on TV for the next few weeks, it'll be what they want to aspire to.
Tell me this, Gavin. One thing I'm fascinated by is the Irish lads that have went over to England, particularly the ones that have a GA background. Do you reckon there's any cultural traits that you've developed from GAA from a young age that helped you in soccer?
I know cultural. Physically, playing Gaelic football would have helped me. Staying later, not going to England at such a young age, helped me. I would have felt playing Gaelic football, playing GAA, I would have enjoyed it more at a younger age because I had more friends playing. It was more local to me, if you know what I mean. Where soccer, you were brought off and you had to sort of, you go on trials and whether it's Ireland or you're with a different group, you're never with your friends, where she is your local club, it's your friends, it's people you go with. So it was easier, more enjoyable. I felt soccer to me felt the harder route, more difficult side of things. But physically, Jesus, yeah, the upper body strength just naturally, you know, having to, so playing different sports helps you, I think. And that, yeah, Gaelic football, I was always sort of, you know, people were surprised, I think, by my strength when I was 18, 19, 20, 21, being able to deal with centre halves and things, which wouldn't have come from massive amounts of work in the gym. It would have been natural.
Yeah.
We call it farmer strength, I think.
Farmer natural strength.
Yeah.
Naturally, using your, you know, your body, your shoulders, you're having to, you know, and it would have come from playing Gaelic football, I suppose, more than anything.
I would know your agent Pat Dolan well, and he speaks about, you know, the players he represents, and he wants them to be friends rather than, you know, that relationship between a player and an agent. One day he texts me and he says, "I gave your book to Paolo Fonseca. He was managing the Ukrainian team, I think. No, was it Ukrainian? Yeah, maybe it was. It was Shakhtar Donetsk."
I'm not sure which one he was, Fonseca, yeah.
He's just standing there with the book, Joyce, and takes a picture of him. Just like, that's Pat. That's
brilliant.
That's Pat for you, you know.
Kevin, before you go, every week we are getting our stars from across the sea, your stars from different sports, to fill in their Breaking Ball Ultimate 15 card. Basically a FIFA card, only it's a GAA FIFA card. It's our FIFA card. We've gotten Kevin Kilbane to do it, and we've gotten Roddy Collins to do it. I want to see if you can beat them in your stats for GAA, Kevin Doyle.
Right.
So the first thing is you have to tell us, what position is Kevin Doyle, the Gaelic football player?
Centre forward. Third midfielder or centre forward.
Oh really? You did a bit of donkey work around the third midfield, really?
Why would you?
I used to be good at reading the breaking ball and just running the length of pitch with it then.
Yeah,
you know,
legs, yeah.
Win the knockdowns and run. So yeah, I love that third midfielder role, to be honest. It was only coming in. Yeah, it wasn't a thing. The last couple of years when I was maybe 16, 15, 16, when that was started coming into being.
Yeah.
There you go. I would have had him as a corner forward.
Yeah, no, I do like the old classic number 15 though. Yeah.
He's got the speed, he's got the directness, and he obviously can score.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody wants to be that tour midfielder, don't they? Like, you know, exactly. That free.
No, it had a golden era of about, what, 6-7 years, and then it went away then.
It's my dream. Yeah. Nobody ever thought of it, you know.
So we've got six attributes for you to run through, Kevin. So what would you give yourself out of 100 for pace?
Jesus. Pace. Oh, when I think I was quicker back then. What did Kevin Kilbane give himself?
he was quite, yeah.
He was being very modest. Like his total was 72. I think he gave himself 75 or 80 for
pace. He was
pace.
Comparing his pace to James McCarthy, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Well, no, Roddy Collins was.
Oh, was it Roddy Collins?
Roddy Collins gave himself 83 for pace. There has to be somewhere. I don't know what that tells you.
Hiller was quick once he got his legs going. Yeah. Like, for a big yeah. lap. Ride a gate on him. He might have been over the first couple of yards, maybe not a shout. I'm going faster than Killer. I'll go 83 yes. for pace.
Good man, that's a good start. What do you give yourself for shooting?
No, I was decent enough because I was it didn't matter left or right, which is sounding cocky, but it actually didn't. So I go that's a good attribute, isn't it? So I go the same, sort of like 80-85.
Yeah, you're wasted third midfielder now that I'm thinking about it. Like, I think you need to be...
Well, if he's a third midfielder going that, the offensive direction.
Yeah, like number 11, like Michael yeah. Murphy, you can go in and out.
Yeah.
What are you giving yourself for passing?
Passing? Oh, no, that's going to be a low one. Yeah, go down to 60 for passing.
Yeah.
You know, it's more like, listen, I loved solo and I loved fucking driving through with the ball, so passing was an afterthought for me.
So you just didn't want to pass?
I didn't, yeah, basically.
Wanted the contact, like, just wanted to charge them to boys. Yeah, Roddy Collins gave himself 95 for passing, full disclosure. Skill, out of 100.
Roddy was confident in his ability. He must be some footballer. Skill out of 100. Fairly skillful, like, you know, it's hard to do skill in Gaelic football. I think, like, it's not like you're going to see too many flicks or tricks, is it? It's more yeah. technical ability, isn't it? Like,
it's the odd solo dummy, and you're one of the most skillful players.
Yeah,
David Clifford done a kick over his shoulder,
yeah.
no look kick over his shoulder, and the GA world went crazy.
It was very good, though.
It was brilliant, but in the soccer yeah, world, people yeah. would be like, that's just someone flicking the ball on.
I saw that the other day. It was decent, in fairness. I go, it's a decent skill level. I'm going to stick with the 85. Seems a good number for me.
Good man, Kevin. We got two more. We got defending next.
I played a bit of wing back. It wasn't too bad, you know. Again, that sort of driving forward from the back. It was more of a forward wing back role than defensively. Nah, yeah, another. Yeah, I wasn't going to be your dogged defender. Shouldering lads off the ball when the ball's the other end of the field. So, yeah, I go low on that. I got 60.
You're not a Philly McMahon then, that's what he's saying.
You're clean. Clean wing back.
And finally, a big one for you, I think, physicality out of 100.
That was a strong enough point to me. I had big shoulders on me when I was that age. Probably physicality wasn't an issue, so I'll go 80 again there.
Ah, brilliant. Kevin Kilbane is strong. In the mud. Kevin Kilbane finished with 72 out of 100. You've left him for dust, Kevin. I really...
Oh, Killer is modest, so...
Yeah, far too modest, yeah. Thanks a million for your time, Kevin. It's been great, and we'll let you go. See you soon.
No worries. Cheers, lads. Thanks.
Thanks, Kevin. Cheers.
What a pleasure it is to welcome our next guest to the show. Writer, actor, comedian, and definitely, of all the people we've had on the show, top two Ballymun men. It's Willie White!
Thanks very much, Colin.
Welcome.
Thanks, Philly. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming in.
You're very welcome.
Settle the debate. How do you pronounce Kevin?
Kevin.
Kevin?
Yeah.
Yavin.
Kevin.
You make it sound like Kevin.
Yeah.
We just have the proper accent. The Dubs have the proper accent.
We have a proper Dublin brogue.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. I was actually talking to somebody the other day and I said something and, oh yeah, it was me missus's friend was over from Liverpool and I was saying that Blow were playing in Malahide Castle.
Yeah.
And she didn't know who I was talking about. She goes, who? Flo. I said, Flo. She goes, Flo. I said, no, Blow. She goes, Flo. Oh, she goes, oh, Blair. That's the difference. Yeah, yeah, but it's mad because you go out anywhere outside Dublin, the accent just changes.
Yeah.
If you think about Australia, you could travel 1,000 miles across in another direction and they're talking with the same accent.
Yeah.
But if you go outside Dublin from Drogheda to Navan to...
It's so weird. Such a small island, so many accents. But even in Dublin, like that's the one problem I have with Dublin, is there too many accents in Dublin as well.
So what's your...
Well, there's only two, isn't there? Like,
well, there's also like a neutral one that doesn't really... It's like just a generic Irish accent. Yeah. But Galway seem to have that more than anybody.
Do you know what pisses me off? So I'm relatives of West Belfast and they used to always try to put my accent on but sound like a leprechaun. Yeah. How you feel? It's like, yeah, I actually don't talk like that.
It's like Tom Cruise and Far and Away, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Terrible.
What part of West Belfast?
Lennadoon.
Right. I know a few people from up there. Mainly Andytown and...
Lennadoon is Andytown.
So,
Just a bit of a background how me and Willie met. So Willie joined my gym. When was that, Willie? That was...
It was 2011.
2011. And we had a group of lads. Great group of lads.
I'm not just saying it. I've trained in gyms, but the class that was up there at that time...
Yeah.
Class of 2011. It was, come here, it was just a great bunch of people.
Yeah.
It was mad. Like, we used to do like a warm up where you'd get one of the members to do certain exercises and then it'd be mirrored by the other members.
Yeah.
So this fella gets up, you're telling him to do squats and press ups and sit ups. This fella's doing break dancing. So yeah. I turn around, 1 minute legs, I turn around, they're all spinning on their backs and I'm going, geez, me insurance. And he's doing his breakdancing that he used to do on the Lino on the flats years ago.
Yeah, yeah. No, great. Just a great bunch of people. And for the facilities that the gym had, and I always say that, and not that I'm big GAA or it's bet into me or anything like that, but I always say for such a small gym that literally didn't have an awful lot, the players and the calibre of players that Ballymun Kickhams have produced over the years. And not only the players, but I mean the board members, one particular being Tom Donoghue, God rest his soul, who was like the backbone, you know, one of the backbones of the place. It just bred character and it bred really, really good players to come out with such a small community that there wasn't an awful lot in. You'd no bar, you'd no clubhouse, you'd no nothing. It was kind of much so like the community of Ballymun. It was just rough and ready, like, you know.
Yeah.
But what an amazing place, and we had some great times up there, you know. We really did.
Special memories.
Yeah, great. All really good memories. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely. It was a great place, you know. And there is a lot of good that comes out of Ballymun, but come here, the media and the news don't want to know about that. Do you know what I mean? Like areas like that, they just kind of keep it down. I can just tell you about all the bad stuff because bad news sells. Unfortunately, you don't want to see a headline going, Anto gets custody of his kids for the weekend, do you know what I mean, and brings them to the shops and has a great day at the beach. No one wants to buy that. You know, people just want to hear Anto bleeding, smash the robbed car into a shop, and you know, and it's unfortunate, but that's the facts, isn't it?
Tell me this, Willie, you talk a little bit about kind of the direction you went in life, so do you want to kind of go into that a little bit, and maybe kind of did you have an opportunity to be a professional footballer or an inter-county GA player? Did that ever cross your mind to get into sport that way? Or
I suppose sometimes in life that you make opportunities. Do you know what I mean? And I'm very, very aware of making some of my own opportunities later on in life. But in school...
What school did you go to in Ballymun?
I went to the Virgin Mary in school. I remember the church being built in 1978 down in Shangan Road. That's kind of the vintage I am. And I made my communion in that church and I made my confirmation in that church. And in school, I wasn't really big into sport. GAA, it didn't hold anything for me. I was kind of one of them young lads that was more mischievous than sport.
Yeah.
Orientated, and I tried soccer for a while. Wasn't a great soccer player, but just kind of chanced me arm more. So I actually have a photograph of me playing for Shangan somewhere on my phone, and I was showing a mate of mine, and mate of mine goes, "You look like a real soccer player, like, you know." Well, yeah, when you see me out golfing, I look like a real golfer as well. Like, but watch me swinging a club, and it's a completely different thing, like, you know. So we
tried. One of those that had the best boots, but
all the gear, no idea. Isn't that what you say?
Still images, yeah, and really,
like a footballer.
Yeah. I remember getting brought up to play for Shangan Celtic years ago when I was a kid. I was probably 10 years of age. And it was the only time that my father, God be good to him, come up to watch me play, and I didn't get a game. I didn't even get on as a substitute.
Yeah.
And my dad just went to the pub, and I was just left there watching the match. And it's mad that I still have the vision of that happening. And I remember Davey Rafter in the club room that morning, and his son, who always got a game, not because he was a son, because he was a good soccer player. Another lads that was on the team, and I was this young fella that was just so consumed, I suppose, excuse me, with what was going on at home, because there was a lot of stuff going on at home. As a child growing up, we grew up in a household where my father liked a lot of drink and you know, was very violent towards my mother, myself and my sister at the time. So I think when I look back, I could never really focus on that, and I could never really... Yeah. Commit to doing something, because the reality was is that when I was at home at night, I didn't know what time I was going to be getting to bed at. Do you know what I mean? So even academically in school, I suffered greatly because of what was going on at home, and like getting into drugs kind of running off a different road now. But I mean, when I started using drugs at a very young age, it was a real great escape for me. Like, it was like I'd found something that that got me away from everything that was going on at home. Yeah. And sport never done that for me. You know, GAA never done that, soccer never done that. Obviously, I kicked around ball, you know, in the flats and played sheds underneath the flats and that. We used to play goals in the flats, and you had a goal here and a goal there.
Yeah.
So you had to run around this way to score a goal that way, and around this way to score a goal that way.
People probably think we ran sideways. Yeah, crabs.
But, yeah, but you know what? It worked, and some great soccer players and some great young lads. You know, it was like always in school, you knew who was good at sport. They kind of had that cue to us. You knew who was good at sport, and you knew who the best scrapper was in the school.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That was kind of it. So, yeah, when I started taking drugs at a very young age, it was to get away from everything that was going on at home, and it done exactly what I said in the tin. It was a short-term solution to a long-term problem that was going to cause me a lot more hassle in life. There was the snooker hall in Ballymun where I grew up as well. So I don't think you can really call pool a sport, but I was a really good pool player from a young age. And that's where I spent a lot of my time. I was one of them young fellas when I was growing up, is that I didn't want to be at home. You know, home didn't really... I don't know if even home would be the right place to call it. It was just somewhere where I stayed, because I think the ingredients to a home is love, first and foremost, is family, is the connection between family, which there was no connection in my house. I was reared, you know, by the fist, by my dad sometimes getting beaten for reasons that were reasonable enough. I was getting beaten in school because corporal punishment was out when I went to school. And most days as a young lad from...
It was traumatic.
Probably, it was, so that's the way it was. So we always kind
life,
of...
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. So look, I... As I said, I didn't know what way my day was going to go when I left school. So I didn't spend an awful lot of time in school. I spent a lot of time mitching and going on the hop and robbing horses and... Yeah. You know, it was
you robbed my horse, did you?
Yeah, it was just a... And I don't mean to sound like a nail flatter, it was just a completely different era. Like,
there
was no phones, there was no... You made your own phone, you played ball, you robbed horses, you played horses, chasing. Yeah. Yes, you know, so...
Colin, we used to have a big field at the back of the flats.
Yeah.
And, like, it was like a car park for horses.
Mm.
So you just basically put the rope around the bit of the horse, and then you'd stake it into the ground. And there'd be horses all up the field. You'd wake up some mornings, and you look out your window, if you lived in the flats, I lived in the fourth floor, and you look out the window some morning before you got to school, and you just hear these, like, there was a big massive field at the top of Poppentry, with Cowfields it was called,
that's
wasn't
right,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
And there was massive amount of horses up there, and they just used to walk through Ballymun. The other time they got the gate was left open, and you'd look out the window and you'd see like cowboys and Indians, like they're like walking down the road.
From the moment to be horses in your garden, like if you had a house, that's the God's honest truth. Like, it was unbelievable.
See, to your point about such a small area being able to create so many talented people and stuff as well, like, it's no, I'm not filling your pocket, to use a Roddy Collins phrase, but you look at that Dublin team is lined, literally lined, like, you know, from fullback to John Small to James McCarthy to Dean Rock and then Comerford and Paddy Small. Would that, if you were in school and you weren't a Dublin player nowadays, but like, that's such a thing to look up. This is the most successful team of all time and it's lined by Ballymun people. Like, would that have an impact on somebody nowadays, you think?
I think so. I think the difficulty with Ballymun itself is that it's kind of sugarcoated a little bit, if I'm being honest, you know, as in, like, I don't want to sound too negative here, like, but as we all know, Ballymun Kickhams is two communities. It's Glasnevin and it's Ballymun.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
And there's not enough, I would feel. And in fairness to the club, they are doing really Trojan work behind the scenes around the North Street. It's in the actual Trinity Comprehensive School now, and the numbers are great, and the work's done is amazing, but the actual kids from Ballymun that play for Dublin is a lot less than probably the kids from Glasnevin.
Right, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't think I would have appreciated that.
But it's that's in no way
of course
saying that, you know, we should turn our nose up at kids that are playing for Ballymun Kickhams from Glasnevin. No way, because they're all my friends and
yeah, it's amazing. Of course.
But like, I think the last person after me was probably our, like, let's say there was Davey Bourne, there was Jason Whelan, they were both from Sloag.
Ted Fulham, I believe, he
played. Played Moyne, yeah, or played, kind of got trials at senior.
That guy's brilliant.
Yeah, so all those lads are from Ballymun. And I think there is a big amount of work done, but getting done at the minute by the club to get more, because the energy of having a person from Ballymun playing for Dublin is a little bit different. Like, John Small has a Ballymun in him.
Yeah,
he lives in the Ballymun Road. Like,
he's,
you know what I mean?
He's on the ball.
I'm just talking from the defender's point of view. James McCarthy's just like, he doesn't need, he's that toughness as well, but like, he's a different player. Like,
yeah,
he's just so good on, like, going a different direction. Like, you know, so I think I just think there's a missing piece there that the club is, I'm sure, working on at the minute, you know, but it's still amazing, isn't it? Like, I think
it's great that they even shouldn't have gone to that club. Because, I mean, you've Colin Kills and Wye Hall, which is just as near.
Yeah,
and you've Nafina. But, like, I know Dean Rock's father, he played for Kickhams, didn't he, Barney?
Yeah, Barney. Yeah.
And Barney would have been big when I was in school. I remember Barney playing for Dublin, and a big, hardy man as well. But it's mad to think that, you know, we talked about opportunities earlier, that they would have had opportunities to go to other clubs, but thought, you know what, we're going to go up here.
Yeah.
And what a great day. Like, you just imagine how different all them lads that Philly just spoke about there, how different their careers would have been if they'd have went to a different club. I mean, that team, and I'm not blowing smoke up your hole, but I don't think this country will ever see the likes of that Dublin team again. And I remember it all starting.
We don't really know the real effect of the team, the Ballymun Kickhams team, getting to the All-Ireland final in 2013. And on top of that, having such a representation of Dublin players, right? Yeah. They're crucial things in terms of recruitment of a club in a community, right? So we won't see that until the next generation of players come through to Ballymun Kickhams and those Dublin lads move on to see what kind of talent comes through and how that talent is being moulded. Like, but I just think for Ballymun Kickhams, we also need to get into the community. Like, our club is in the airport.
Yeah.
Like, it's, yeah, like, you know, I know most families will have transportation, but
if you don't,
some families don't, and that's a good half an hour, 45 minutes past the M50 to get to it, and you can't really walk, really.
No, it's a dangerous road.
Yeah.
But I think they're working on trying to get land in Ballymun, because how important that would be to the community would be massive, because there's great clubs in the community already. Satanta, Ballymun.
Darren played for Satanta. He played Hill,
But imagine being able to say to your kid, you just have to walk across the road there and you can see six Dublin players train. Where would you get that? Like, six, it was eight at one stage, there's five or six now. Look at, there's the air there, go out over and have a look, and your kid can see that and go, I want a bit of that.
Yeah.
And even if it's for the girls, there's a girls team now and it's going great and stuff like that, you
know?
So what I want to get on to next, Willie, your transition into comedy. tell us the Des Bishop show started off here.
Yeah, so yeah, no, do you know what? See, school, as I always said, I was always up to divilment in school and, you know, being mischievous. And I was always, I was the class clown, and I've no kind of shame about saying it. I had that much heartache and that much sorrow and that much tears going on at home that I needed a bit of laughter. So I used to generate me own, you know, my own kind of stuff. Like, and I was always funny as a kid. I was always on stage as a kid, even in talent competitions in the Virgin Mary, you know, there was stuff on. I was always kind of involved with it. Even school players, I was in The Emperor's New Clothes and I was in Oliver. I played Dodger. I was on Anything Goes.
You're 100% the Dodger and Oliver.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I was in, just in different kind of productions. And when I came into recovery, as it's a known fact, and I don't, you know, Des won't mind me kind of blowing his anonymity, but when I got out of prison, which had been, I got extradited home from England, so my drug addiction led me to a stage where I went to prison for different spates of time in jail, all drug related. For, you know, as I always say, it was as if I was living the life of Pablo Escobar or anything like that. It was like robbed to use, do you know what I mean, and bleeding repeat the next day, and ended up in jail, and never, not that I'm trying to justify or minimalise my crimes, but it was never violence towards anybody. There was never burglaries or it was nothing like that. It was just petty kind of stuff a lot of the time, you know, shoplifting, trespassing, stuff like that. But I eventually got caught with drugs and I went on the run to England, and in England I then ended up getting extradited home. I got a crack cocaine habit in England and I was really, really sick. I actually have a video on my phone of when, the year before I got out of prison. I'll show you after. I should have sent it to you. But so, and this, I'm getting into how I met Des Bishop. So I got extradited home from London in 1997 and I went to jail and I was completely clean. I was in Brixton prison for 6 weeks, came back, and after a few weeks of being sentenced, I got 5.5 years with a review after 3.5 years with terms and conditions. The terms and conditions being that I address my drug problem, that I do something about, you know, my drug problem, that I give clean urines and be seen to go to counselling and be seen to, you know, do a bit of therapy or whatever it might be. So I eventually got clean. I got me stuff together. I stuck onto a 12-step program in prison. And then eventually when I got out of prison after the 3.5 years, so I hadn't been on the streets of Dublin roughly for about 6 years, which was great. So people, you know, our sight, our mind, I always say. And I met Des while I was in prison, and Des was in at a 12-step meeting. And then when I got out of prison, I was at a convention. And at the convention, I'd done the, there was an auction at it for all stuff that was there. So they asked me to do the auction. So I got up on the stage and I'd done the auction and I was taking the piss out of people, just subtly, obviously, and having a bit of crack. And Des came up to me after the auction and he says, have you ever thought about doing stand-up comedy? And I says, to be honest with you, I haven't, you know. So he says, I think you're really funny. He said, I think you'd be great at it. So a few months later, he came back and he says, look, I've got a great idea for a program. I'm going to pitch it to RTE. So it's about you getting out of prison and embarking on the world of stand-up comedy. And so we knew there'd be a lot of stuff involved in it. That I'd have been on The Late Late and I'd have been on different stuff, but I really had to think strongly about it because I didn't want to be labelled as this ex-drug addict criminal comedian.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I didn't, you know, I wasn't ready to let, I was only in early recovery and I had a lot of other people to consider, you know, my partner, my family, my job, people that knew me but didn't know that I was on drugs. I didn't know about my past. Because I've got to be honest, in the first few years of my recovery, I carried a lot of shame for the things that I'd done, you know, mainly to my family and, you know, amends that I had to make to people and all that. And I didn't want to be going on telly and kind of, you know, going, oh, look at me, I'm out of prison and I'm this. So I opted not to do it. I says, listen, Des, I says, this isn't going to work. I says, I'm not going to do it. I says, I really appreciate, you know, what you're kind of putting to me and all that. I says, but I'm not going to do it. I says, but if anything else comes about, give me a shout. And then a couple of years later, he done this programme, Joy in the Hood. So he says, we're doing this program, Join the Hood. So we were the pilot scheme. So we were in Ballymun. So basically, the logistics of the program was, he went into a disadvantaged area and he taught stand-up comedy workshops. And then at the end of the 6 weeks, you went into your local theatre or community hall and you got on stage, Des emceed the gig, and you done 10 minutes of stand-up to your family, friends and community.
You remember your script?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I remember doing the gig. I done a gag about my dad, saying my dad was that poor, like, you know. He said, my dad said he was that poor that if you didn't wake up on Christmas morning with an erection, you had nothing to play with, like, you know.
I'm just thinking while you're talking, why was that, that gig?
Why? No way.
Why was that in the Axis? Yeah, it was, yeah.
Really?
I remember it now. It was yourself, Eric.
Even a young player.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Where was that?
And team that was in there.
Ian Scurry was in it.
Yeah, and what's his name that was in Fair City?
Is it Daniel? Was it Daniel?
No, come on, what's his
Patrick
name?
Patrick Fitzpatrick.
Ting's sister was in it as well. You know that has the CrossFit gym?
Douglas.
Yeah, she was in it.
Jerry Douglas was in it?
No, the young one. Not Jerry, the sister.
This is the most parochial sister conversation ever.
Yeah, sorry.
Who's she the daughter of?
Yeah. Is that it? That's a real coin.
Where was that? Yeah. There you go.
That's kind of forget where you are moment.
It's not like we're recording here or anything.
Yeah, so I ended up doing that, and we used to travel up and down the country doing open spots into different clubs. But we literally travelled the length and breadth of the country. And I remember the first year getting the Kilkenny Cats Laughs Festival, and it was like a rite of passage. And then Jason Bourne took us over to Edinburgh, and Jason would be still a really good friend of mine. I'm actually going to Edinburgh next month again, and I stay with Jason, and then just start gigging with all these people, like in the early years before they were huge, like John Bishop and Rod Gilbert. I don't know whether you've heard of Rod Gilbert, he's a Welsh comedian. And then you kind of get that thing as well, you know, that imposter syndrome thing kind of going, you know, should I really be here, like, you know? And that's my upbringing, that's where I come from. Because where I come from, you're not meant to do stuff like that, do you know what I mean? You're meant to be, you know, either, you know, working on a building site or in prison or on a methadone clinic. A lot of the lads that I grew up with, I'm not saying everybody in Ballymun, but, like, there's not a lot of people that were doing what I was doing in the entertainment industry. I played in Crow Park, I was telling Philly, what was the name of that guy?
Alan Cairns.
Alan Cairns, yeah. So he had a big charity event.
Close there, really.
Yeah. It was something to do with sausages.
It was a dirty accent, was it?
Or Cairns, yeah. Ended up playing in Crow. I was marking Rosanna Postel
right.
at the time, which was great.
Tipperary hat on it. Played a bit of guy, I think, did she?
I remember Kieran.
The Kenny?
No, that played with you from down in.
Wheeling.
He went in for a tackle with Marty Morrissey. Marty Morrissey was in goal, and I swear to God, how Marty Morrissey didn't end up in hospital, I will never know.
I wouldn't like to be in there.
True as good God. And I just looked at Kieran and went, he goes, I'm not even going to say what he said. But he probably said something.
I played against Kieran Whelan, Ballymun Raheny in the championship, and I was 17.
He's a big man.
And I remember him tackling me. I don't even remember how it happened. There was a weird, but his leg came up across my body and hit me in the face. That's how tall he was. Like, I was like, what just, he didn't even jump. Like, I was like, what just happened there? Big knee in the head. And I was like,
he's a unit of a man. My God. And I mean, like, when I looked at, like, you know, people that were playing that day, Ronnie Whelan was playing, Barry Murphy was playing, Ting Postle, and it was all different, you know, people from the entertainment industry and the sports industry. But when you look at the size of some of them people, and then you look at a man like Kieran, it's like, Jesus Christ, man. And as I said to Philly, he says, every sport always looks easier on telly, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when you're in Crow Park, you actually don't realise the size of the pitch and the distance that needs to be made to get from one end of it to the other. And when I used to watch Philly when he was in his prime and kind of seeing him coming from the back and going up and scoring points and then coming back, you'd be kind of going, when you realise, you know, what's actually involved in doing that, playing against a a county club that are on the game. Like,
and then when he doesn't do it, people like me are like, why is he not doing that?
I got that mentality from training a bunch of headbangers in terms of Willie and all the lads.
Yeah.
If I could train them, I could do that.
Yeah. So that was all generated through Dez's thing, and just went on to do loads of different stuff, and then done a bit of acting. I ended up in the Savage Eye on RTE,
I was in the
Irish Pictorial, and then I was in Love Hate. I got a small part in Love Hate, and then it all came around a few years ago. I ended up doing a play, and the play was very successful, and you've seen the play yourself.
Examination,
we won loads of awards, and I've never won out, genuinely. I've never won out that I could say I was really proud of. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I mean, when I won the Best Actor 2019 of the Dublin Fringe Awards, it was one of them moments. And I genuinely wasn't even going to go in that night. I knew I was nominated for it, but my missus was gone. I said, we'll just leave it, like, because everybody that was in that, and this is the thing I'm talking about, this feeling less than, like, I'm going, sure, I'm not a bleeding actor, like, do you know what I mean? And the reality is, some of my best acting performances were probably in the district court and the circuit court, do you know what I mean? But there was no awards for them, just a prison sentence,
Willie, before we let you go, we're going to get you the... do a breaking ball challenge. This was Philly McMahon's idea, I must tell you. So
okay.
What we're going to do is put the noise cancelling headphones on you. Philly's going to read you a line and you're going to try and tell him what he is saying to you. All you can do is read his lips.
Okay.
All right.
Right.
So stick on the noise cancelling headphones. Philly.
Okay.
You're going to go first.
I need to go to Jack's.
Say it again.
He's screaming.
Shouting.
I need to go. Are you ready? I need to go to Jack's.
RTE is going to Jack's.
That's very close. Very close.
Good, wait. I need to go to Jack's.
Ollie is going to Jack's.
And then I.
Right.
You changed oi for something else.
It's the accent, lads. It's the accent. He said oi. He thought you said ollie.
Oi, oi.
How did you say
I? I need to go to Jack's.
I need to go to the Jack's. Yeah. I think we can give him half a point for that. Well, one more.
It's 1-0 to me.
Willie, you're up. Say it out loud, Willie.
All right.
Yeah.
You ready?
Go.
I'll never win an All-Ireland.
I'll never win an All-Ireland.
Yeah!
Oh, brilliant.
I got the second word, never, and I got All-Ireland.
Amazing.
Up the flats.
Is that? We have to do one more, right? We have to do one more.
Is that it?
Yeah. That's brilliant. It was an easy one.
I'm really from Glasnevin. I'm really from Glasnevin.
I live in Glasnevin. I seen Glasnevin.
I'm really from Glasnevin.
I'm really from Glasnevin.
That's brilliant, Philly.
Right, okay.
Last
one, right?
If you're partying.
You're going to see you in 5. What you say, Philly?
My lip reader.
2 kilos are in the boot of the car.
Right, your last chance.
This is it, right. How's your ma? Is your dad walking?
How's your man's your dad walking?
Oh, fuck. It's the Ballymore legal that we're not getting.
I can't believe that's somebody.
Yes, that one.
But yeah, easy, come on. Not even challenging me. Oh, that was brilliant. Willie, that was absolutely brilliant. Thanks a million for coming in.
Much.